joined today by Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney, Big Ten Council of Presidents Chancellor's Chair and University of Iowa President Sally Mason, Rutgers University President Robert Barchi, and Rutgers University Director of Athletics Tim Pernetti. This time, I'd like to introduce President Mason to make some opening comments. President Mason?
Thank you so much. This has been a rather remarkable week for the Big Ten Conference, and I want to personally welcome President Barchi and the athletic director at Rutgers to the Big Ten Conference. We are so pleased, so thrilled, and very excited, as you can imagine, to welcome Rutgers, another great public and land-grant university, to the Big Ten Conference.
All right, let's go ahead and get an opening comment from President Barchi.
Well, let me say that on behalf of Rutgers, that we are just delighted that the Big Ten has accepted our application, and we thank President Mason and her colleagues for welcoming us to the conference. We're delighted to join you, both as an athletics teams and as an academic enterprise. Frankly, we look forward as much to the collaboration and interactions we're going to have as institutions as we do to what I know will be a really outstanding competition on our fields of play.
All right. Thank you, President Barchi. At this time, we'll open the call for media questions. Commissioner Delaney, President Mason and Barchi, and Tim Pernetti will all be available for questions. So let's open it up.
Hey, Scott, let me just make one comment. This is Jim. Tim had to step out just for a minute. He should be back in 2 or 3 minutes. We'll let you know when he's back in the room. So if we could just hold questions for Tim until he gets back, that'd be great.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Let's go for questions for the other three now.
If you have a question, please hit the star number one on your touch-tone phone. The first question is from Steve Pilati with Star Ledger.
The question is for Jim. You mentioned as we were watching the press conference in Piscataway that TV and cable revenue wasn't a driving force behind this. I'm just curious then if you could just go into a little more detail about what were beyond academics. Is the market something that interests you specifically about New Jersey? Is there something broader about, the situation of being on the East Coast that's important? What beyond that is important?
Yeah, I was just quibbling with the characterization. I just thought there was an overemphasis on that aspect. So whether you use the word driving force, whatever was used, I just thought the amount of words devoted and the emphasis were a little overplayed. I never suggested that, Big Ten Network or ESPN aren't factors. What I tried to say was that didn't drive the decision. The decision was driven on a much more macro level. We made a decision. We tried to maintain for many, many decades, 2 decades, the 11. We then went to the 12. We thought that was the right place to be. We explored the collaboration. It all the time we had a Big Ten Network, but that didn't necessarily drive us to go someplace else. What drove us to go someplace else was just the fact that it's a paradigm shift, and that institutions that get together for academics or athletics have got to be cognizant of the fact that they are competing for students. They are competing for student athletes. They're competing for research dollars. They're competing for the best levels of collaboration. Additionally, they have to pay for broad-based programs. And my only point is that there was far more emphasis on, television than there was on the institutional connectivity. Once we made the decision to explore going outside of our region, which we did as a result of the paradigm shift, not for cable TV dollars or anything else, we then looked to see where we ought to go. And in looking at Maryland and looking at Rutgers, it's obvious that there are rich demographics here, great political institutions, great financial institutions, great high schools, lots of people, including 500,000 Big Ten alums in this corridor. We thought that was the place that we wanted to be if we could achieve it. If we couldn't, we knew we were happy with our membership, and we knew we were happy with our structure. But once the presidents and the athletic directors decided that this was an initiative worth pursuing, thinking about Penn State as a bridge, because they had been with us for 2 decades, we pursued it. So my only concern was not that it's not a relevant factor, but it wasn't the driving factor.
just as a follow-up, and you, growing up in New Jersey, you know what the market's like as far as being a pro sports area. Was that any concern for you at all that there are times during the year where Rutgers is not, you know, generally part of the conversation throughout the casual sports fan in the state?
My vision is that there's no incompatibility between not only academics and athletics if it's done well, and no incompatibility between very successful collegiate programs sitting side by side professional sports. I think what has been missing in the East, quite honestly, for many, many, many decades, is a consolidated effort by institutions to impact the marketplace and the visibility. And the example would be, you can be an Illinois fan and a Chicago Bears fan. You can be a Wisconsin fan and a Green Bay Packer fan. You can be a Minnesota Viking fan and a Minnesota fan. It happens all the time, a Cleveland Browns fan and Ohio State. But what I think Rutgers and maybe to some extent Maryland haven't had is this sustained build they haven't had partners to do it with. Now with Penn State, Rutgers, Maryland, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Wisconsin coming into this, I think over time we can create awareness. We'll never dominate. That's not the point. But I think we can be impactful and build each other up as a result of partnership.
Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch tone phone. We have a question from the line of Rachel Beckman with Wall Street Journal.
Could you elaborate on the paradigm shift that you said drove the Big Ten to make these changes?
Yeah, Rachel. I think if you look at what's happened over the last decade, every conference, I think with the exception of the Ivies and maybe the MEAC, have changed. I don't know the percentages of institutions and conferences touched, but it's been a remarkable amount of migration, and really goes all the way back to the Big East. Where did the Big East come from? Those are independents or ECAC schools melded together in 79 for a marketing purpose. Penn State coming to the Big Ten, you know, we just thought there was no analytics done. We just, you know, accepted them. They wanted to come in. We wanted them to come in, and we stayed there 20 years. But what's happened over the last decade is every major conference has established a presence in some cases in non-contiguous areas, and in other cases in contiguous areas, but what are markedly, culturally, and socially considered to be, quote-unquote, other regions. And so, you know, when you see a Southern Conference in the Midwest, or whether you see a Southern Conference in the Plain States, or whether you see a Southern Conference in the Midwest or the Northeast, and that impacts you, it impacts the recruitment of students, it impacts the recruitment of athletes, it impacts the recruitment of officials, it impacts everything that you do. And so the response would be, okay, let's see what's going to happen. Let's see how we're doing. And then at a certain point, you get to a tipping point. The paradigm is shifted, and you decide on a strategy to basically position yourself for the next decade or a half century. Our decision was, let's explore collaboration with the Pac-12 as the first instance. Let's see what others do. But at a certain point, you wake up, you go in, you begin to plan, and you say, what is the counter to what's happening in the paradigm shift? And for us, it was looking at adjacent states with AAU, major research-type institutions, in an area that would help us recruit students, recruit student-athletes, collaborate academically, and we know this is not going to happen quickly. It's a long-term play, but I will tell you, I believe that these institutions and our conference will look different 10 years from now in a very positive way as a result of this.
Let's move on to the next question.
Your next question comes from the line of James Shea of WOR Radio.
Hello? I just have a question in regards to what would be the timeline on like all the programs joining the Big Ten Conference. Would it be immediate, or would it be like what would be set up in terms of the transition phase?
Well, you know, I think as it relates to the transition phase, you know, we're going to work as productively as we can with the Big East Conference on our exit. I spoke to Commissioner Oresco earlier today. We had a very good conversation. But, you know, certainly we want to try to do our part to leave where we are in a good place as we move forward and enter into the Big Ten Conference. But that's an issue we plan to work through with the Big East.
Your next question comes from the line of Tommy Burge of Des Moines Register.
Question is for Commissioner Delaney and President Mason. Are you guys worried about what kind of impact this will have on some of the big-time traditional rivalries of the Big Ten that may be lost with some of the new scheduling?
I'll take a shot at that. Sally's not spending a whole lot of time on scheduling as she runs the University of Iowa. I will tell you this. Tradition is really, really important to us. We're 117th. Football season. We've had multiple generation after generation after generation of followers, not only attending our universities, but also following our teams. And so I think that does not change one bit. I do think, though, that as you add members, you have to seriously consider adding more games so as not to dilute how often you play each other. So that means to me, both in basketball and football, the issue of more games, more conference games, is squarely on the table to be discussed at the end of the day. At the end of the day, we're going to have to, you know, resolve that. But, it is going to be a factor both in scheduling football and basketball. But I think that, you know, that by being creative and by being committed to playing each other more, that we're going to be able to arrive at a fair balance between, on the one hand, incorporating new institutions in new regions with historic Big Ten, but also to do so in a way that maintains, insofar as possible, repeating the games that are meaningful to our fans and keeping and building integrated marketing for our universities as well as for our sports teams.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Michael Heisen of USA Today.
I was wondering, when it comes to the Big Ten Network, I assume some of the thinking is now cable operators in Maryland as well as New Jersey could be charged at the higher footprint in-state rates. Is that to carry the Big Ten Network?
First of all, I think the integration of these institutions is down the road. We have existing agreements with our partners. We've got many, many partners, and many of them have customers in this area. And I would say as we get closer, the conversations will begin, and I'm sure they'll be constructive. And the hope always is that you can find, a rational ground that works for both partners. But, we don't make any assumptions on that. And so when the time, is appropriate, we'll have those conversations. But I don't think it'll be happening in next weeks or maybe even the next few months. But down the road, I'm sure those discussions will play out.
Okay. And is this Commissioner Delaney speaking?
It is. It is, Michael.
Okay. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeff Patrakis with Journal Sentinel.
Four games. I'm talking specifically in football. But would you have a preference if you go from eight, would it be to nine or 10 games? Is either one more attractive than the other?
Well, I have strong feelings about scheduling, but I never get what I want on scheduling. And so I can tell you what I think personally. And, I like to play, I like to have Big Ten teams play more often. Normally, coaches on the other side of that discussion, athletic directors, kind of mediate the two points of view. And as we try to get the collaboration up and going, I asked them to wait to see if we could do it. So I had them on the sidelines for almost 8 months. Eventually, released them because, they're having to build schedules to position themselves for the new playoff. Now, we've moved forward with, very excited, two new members I think we've got to put it back on the table to discuss. My question is, you know, how much flexibility they'll have, because on one hand I held them up, then we released them, then they've gone out and done a lot of scheduling to upgrade their, many of them to upgrade their schedules with national opponents. Now I'll have to pull them back in and say, where are we? Let's look at the matrix. Let's look at the grid. Let's see where we are. And on the nine, you know, the beauty of the nine is we get to play each other more. The negative, it's a five-home, four-away combo.
Mm-hmm.
But it still allows, with sort of creative scheduling, our schools to be able to build seven, you know, game home schedules, which makes the budgeting process, you know, doable for many of them. Going to 10 is a real paradigm shift, because it would be 5-5 and there's only two other games. And I think that would create, you know, levels of difficulty. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think probably 9, but I know there will be discussion of 8 and 10. But I think there's a reasonable possibility in time that 9 is probably the right, but it's not a perfect number either.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Zach Smith of the State News.
Yeah, hi. My question is for Commissioner Delaney. What is the look of conference, like the divisions? Where will the schools be put, legends, leaders, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Now, there has been not conversation one on this issue, notwithstanding the reports that were in the media yesterday that somehow, you know, that we've either thought about or even made a decision. So I would expect our athletic directors to look at this issue early in 13 and hopefully have a decision later in the spring. But I could tell you that, you know, I think that since we arrived at a set of compromises on this quality high up, a preservation of rivalries second, and geography third, and I simply think it's holistic to believe that geography will play a bigger role as simply because now we go from the ocean to the Colorado border and from the Canadian border to the Mid-South. So, you know, we're really pushing the limits. You know, we're our national conference in many ways, but even geographically, you know, we're spread. As a result, I think that geography will have to play probably a more important role in the evolution of the next divisional structure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, would ask that everyone please mute their line. Let's go ahead and move on to the next question.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. Your next question comes from the line of Andy Coppins of Denali's Dozen.
My question is for Commissioner Delaney. I know with the addition of Rutgers in Maryland, there's been some discussion or chatter about possibly adding lacrosse. Could you talk about the possible addition there?
I know how important lacrosse is in this area of the country in particular, and the Washington-Baltimore area. And in the Long Island area, New Jersey area, it's actually an emerging growth sport in the Midwest. I think with Rutgers, I think we've got six women's teams and five men's teams. And I would expect that conversations on beginning a Big Ten championship on the women's side would happen pretty quickly. And on the men's side, you know, I would hope we would be able to either pick up a sixth team or to create an emerging competitive structure that accommodates. So I think it's on a great growth curve nationally, and I know we're in the hotbed of it. And so we'll work very hard with our new partners, our new members, to make that happen. And I think it also will accommodate those sports on our other campuses.
And just a quick follow-up on that. In regards to how that might affect with, you know, the Big Ten Network and getting out to that area in the Mid-Atlantic and Long Island?
Well, you know, I don't know. I said, you know, it's on a great growth trajectory. I'm not sure how much impact it'll have on distribution.
Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. You have a follow-up question from the line of Steve Pilotti with Star Ledger.
First of all, what does it mean to add a school from New Jersey, and what do you remember about Rutgers athletics when you were growing up in the state?
Well, you know, I don't know what you mean. What does it mean? I mean, we're just excited about it. We think it's a great match, you know, a great university located in a contiguous state that shares many of the same values that we have in undergraduate education and research.
I mean, personally, from your background as a New Jersey person, just growing up here
and
coming back
to
the state.
I'm proud to be a New Jersey person. My dad was a high school teacher in Newark. I grew up in Newark. I was born in Newark. I learned a lot of lessons in Newark that still serve me well today. So I'm proud of it. And I'm proud that Rutgers is a member of the Big Ten, and I feel like I've come full circle. I told somebody that I'll be home for Thanksgiving, whether I get back to Chicago or get stranded here. Either way, I'll be home for Thanksgiving.
Thanks.
All right, and that's all the time we have today. I want to thank the speakers for joining us today and the media for joining us as well.